The scripture reading for this morning is Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, the healing of blind Bartimaeus. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on his way. Thus ends the reading.
Would you pray with me, please? Gracious, eternal, all-loving God, we thank you for your presence among us here today. We're hungry, we're thirsty, we ask that you would give us a word that we need to hear. I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and minds would be pleasing to you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. As happy as I am for Bartimaeus, this man whose vision returned after an encounter with Jesus, I have to admit that I'm also troubled by stories like this. Not to be ungrateful, but what about all those other people who asked for healing, whose prayers never seemed to amount to much of anything, who face physical challenges of all sorts and have received no relief or little relief? What is this story supposed to say to them? What is this story supposed to say to us? First of all, I think it's vitally important to note that the words heal and cure are not exact synonyms, especially in a theological context. In the modern Western world, we've tended to equate cures with medicine, with doctors and hospitals, with MRIs and X-rays and prescriptions and so on and so forth, invasive procedures. And yet more and more people are migrating to perspectives which embrace the whole person, mind, body, and spirit, and which comes a whole lot closer to the type of healing that Jesus offered. But even this holistic, with an H, approach to healing isn't anywhere near as holistic, with a W, as the healing God holds out to us. And this one very short narrative has much to tell us about that. There's a whole lot more going on here than first meets the eye. Now, it may just be me, but I know for me, when I hear this story or I read it myself, it's easy for me to get so focused on Bartimaeus that I can forget that anyone but he and Jesus are present. Yet right there in the first sentence, we're told that Jesus was entering Jericho with his disciples. And in the second sentence, they're leaving Jericho with a large crowd. Supposedly, or we would presume that these people were attracted when they saw Jesus and his disciples within Jericho. At any rate, how could it possibly be so easy to forget throngs of people, to overlook a crowd of people? Well, did you happen to notice that the disciples said not a single word during this incident? Not one word? They may as well not even have been there for all they added to this interaction. And as for the crowd, there were no brave individuals who stood out as Bartimaeus did. The people in this crowd had no names and they spoke as a single amoeba-like crowd voice. The first, in response to Bartimaeus' pleas for mercy, said, "Shh, be quiet," like a stern librarian. And then, once Jesus had acknowledged him, the crowd softened and said, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." What do you make of that? It's a pretty big shift to make instantaneously, is it not? From writing off this man as unworthy of Jesus' compassion and attention and theirs, to encouraging and guiding him toward Jesus. From ordering him back into silence and oblivion to speaking tenderly, comforting and affirming him, "Take heart." It's as if with just three words from Jesus, "Call him here," in their eyes, Bartimaeus went from less than nobody to beloved child of God. That's pretty miraculous, I'd say. Nothing short of a conversion. But wait a second, whose healing story is this? Do you begin to see what holistic with a W looks like? Did you notice where Bartimaeus was when Jesus and the crowd first encountered him? Sitting by the roadside, likely in a ditch, on the margins, begging. And not just along any old road, but the road from Jericho to Jerusalem, which you may recall from Jesus' parable of the Good Shepherd, that it was an extremely treacherous road. Listen to this modern-day description from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. "I remember when Mrs. King and I were first in Jerusalem, we rented a car and drove from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And as soon as we got on that road, I said to my wife, 'I can see why Jesus used this road as a setting for his parable. It's a winding, meandering road. It's really conducive for ambushing. You start out in Jerusalem, which is about 1,200 miles above sea level, and by the time you get down to Jericho, 15 or 20 minutes later, you're about 850 feet below sea level. That's a dangerous road. In the days of Jesus, it came to be known as Bloody Pass." So suffice it to say that this was probably not prime begging territory. Not a place where many would dare to stop and tend to a man in need. In fact, passersby might well have suspected that someone like Bartimaeus or the man left for dead in Jesus' parable was faking it. Robbers disguised as victims. And so it's probably safe to assume that Bartimaeus, even among lowly beggars, was low in status. That his disability forced him to occupy the leftover undesirable roads. How would we feel about ourselves if we were reduced to these circumstances? Cold, hungry, wrapped in a cloak and sitting in a ditch? Poor, blind, and friendless, even among our vagrant peers? Religious people judging our blindness to be a punishment from God? Pedestrians assuming we're despicable con men and thieves? Do we have high self-esteem? I doubt it. Do we wake up each morning feeling like beloved children of God? It's pretty unlikely. And so, with all of this in mind, if we replay the opening scene again, how surprising is it that this man not just spoke, but literally shouted to Jesus from the ditch, "Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me." And that even after a merciless crowd of people told him to shut up, he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." It's not just surprising, it may even be miraculous. And that as soon as he heard that Jesus was calling for him, he spontaneously threw off his cloak, his one possession and protection against the elements. He threw that cloak off, sprang up, and went to Jesus. Perhaps that's even more miraculous. Is it possible that Bartimaeus already had everything he needed within him and he just hadn't realized it yet? Persistence, faith, courage, clarity, vision. Unlike the rest of the crowd, Bartimaeus knew who and for whom Jesus was. Perhaps even the disciples hadn't realized that yet. And so, unlike the disciples, Bartimaeus would not allow himself to be silenced in the face of a crowd's oppression and insensitivity to his plight. Truth be told, Bartimaeus may never have been the blind man in this story, or even the person most in need of healing. Do you see all that transpired here in little more than the blink of an eye? Do you see what I mean about holistic healing with a W? Jesus was not a healer of the Band-Aid variety. Neither is God. Sure, 20/20 vision alone could have significantly changed Bartimaeus's life, but it would have been a cure rather than true healing. For true healing, the pathologies of other people's assumptions and behaviors have to shift as well. For true transformation to take hold, cultural structures and norms have to be upended. From a liberation theology perspective, it was and is not enough for this one man, Bartimaeus, to be saved. The lives of all oppressed persons must be transformed and redeemed for all time. But even this is not enough. No, the lives of all people must be healed and made new, even and especially those persons who have ignored the cries of the Bartimaeuses of the world. Those persons who have overlooked, undervalued the wisdom and the gifts of the Bartimaeuses of this world. I'm willing to bet that one way or another that covers all of us, or just about all of us. At some point in our lives, each of us has or will likely play both of those roles. Oppressed, differently abled, or disempowered, an empowered, temporarily abled accessory to Bartimaeus's plight. Now, accessory sounds like too strong a word. We need only remember the disciples' passive silence, which was pretty much as damning as the crowds yelling at him. Some might break these categories of people down into winners and losers, but that's not God's economy. In God's economy, there are neither winners nor losers, just beloved children. As you go to the polls next week, I know you're electioned out and I apologize, but as you enter the polling booth and as we as a church continue to reach out to people in our community and beyond to invite people in, I hope that we will bear this in mind. Both the radical love and hospitality of God and Christ, which we as children of God have inherited and have an obligation to use in service to God, and the very real possibility that everything we have assumed, all the limitations we have assumed, could be changed and transformed and healed in just the blink of an eye. It's happened before. It can happen again. May it be so. Amen.